the desire on the female side gets stronger in most cases after menopause. The men on the other side go, oh, maybe I'd love to, but I don't know if I can or not.
Exactly, yeah.
So you've got a double battle going on here, and maybe those scripts need to be flipped. You're not swimming in hormones anymore.
We are going to talk all about sexual scripts today. Sexual scripts comprise your attitudes, values, beliefs, feelings, and behaviors about sex. They are formed from a very young age and are affected by our upbringing, culture, religion, experiences, and expectations about gender. Holding too rigid of a sexual script inhibits pleasure and satisfaction, especially as we age. Given the fact that we are living longer, we need to talk about how to adapt our scripts to our lives as they evolve. Today, I am joined by Jim Benton, who decided on a career change in early 2021. After many years in the special events industry and after the ravages of COVID-19, Jim took a deep dive back into academia in order to help others in the area of human sexuality and relationships. He focuses on the baby boomer demographic and the LGBTQIA+ community. Jim is a clinical sexologist and sex coach, as well as a certified hypnotist. He is currently a PhD candidate with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology in Miami. Without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, Jim, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. I'm so glad that you're able to join me today. Just so anyone listening knows, Jim and I are both located in Houston, which doesn't happen with my guests very regularly. So it's always nice to
Yeah.
connect with a local.
We could almost throw a rock toward each other and
I
almost hit
know. I
back
know.
home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Jim, we have a lot to discuss today, but before we dive in, I would love to hear a little bit about you and how you got into the field, because from our conversation already, you have had a few career changes before landing in the field of sexology. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your path.
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. I promise it wasn't. It's like life took over. The universe says you will be doing this. I started out, grew up on a cattle ranch out in West Texas, and my great great grandparents have been there for like five generations. Got there in the 1860s or something like that. So
Wow.
from a pretty small community, well, very small community. Okay, you
Yeah.
sneeze on one side, they say God bless you on the other side of town. Anyway, so yeah.
That.
I really didn't get a lot of chance to delve into who I was at that point. But I went to a small Baptist university and got a music education degree, and then went on to grad school after that and lasted in a seminary setting for about a year and go, this is so not me. So through a series of odds and ends, ended up opening a florist and catering business in Corpus Christi. And all this whole time, all this music has followed me the whole way. So I was doing music in Corpus. And then after I moved to Houston in 1989, it kind of followed me here also. And that was the end of an oil bust, another oil bust in Corpus Christi. And so
Wow.
there wasn't a whole lot money-wise to be made. I had to go look for something to pay child support with and all those good things. So I ended up doing some work for a florist and doing some music on the side. And that went from becoming the church's special events food ministry chair, whatever you want to call it,
Yeah.
at a church for 17 years and a long
Wow.
time. And that's how the catering part got launched. So I ended up
Okay.
actually being in catering and special events, music on the side, for 32 years.
Wow.
Damn, yeah. But COVID came and totally shot down everything I had so meticulously planned all those years. And suddenly I'm sitting here going, so this was what the Great Depression felt like for my grandparents. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Yep.
So reinvention time again. And I've always seemingly been that guy. I get a lot of phone calls going, hey, can we go get coffee? I need to talk. And it's like, sure,
Yeah.
but I decided it was time to actually do that because love being helpful. But I had to do it right this time. So I was so fortunate to, through a great set of circumstances, met Dr. Patty Britton, who has been Miss Everything for a million years. And
Who's been on my show before, actually. She's wonderful.
isn't she? Yeah, she's great. We call her mom, but she is that to so many of us. And so she invited me to join her last class before her retirement. And so I was fortunate enough to become a part of that. Graduated with my degree there this last May. And she said, "You know, what do you want to do now?" I said, "I feel so smart and I feel so stupid. You know, I need more education."
Welcome
And
to imposter
oh, it is.
syndrome.
Yeah, pretty much. It was able to get me enrolled in a doctoral program. And now I'm working on a PhD with International Institute of Clinical Sexology in Miami. And
Amazing.
just having a ball doing what I'm doing and hopefully helping people along the way.
That is so great. And I love listening to the track of your life because there are so many periods of reinvention and adaptability and evolution, which is the theme of today's episode. We are going to talk all about sexual scripts and what those are and how to adapt and change your script to fit our ever-evolving lives. Before we dive into that specifically, though, I'd love to hear your take on what you think makes one individual a little bit more willing to adapt and change and reinvent themselves versus another individual who may dig their heels in and crumble when life gets tough.
I think so much of that is actually self-permission. And most people don't realize we can give ourselves permission to adapt. They feel that the social paradigms that we grew up with are sometimes in concrete, never to be broken, never to be recast, and to live with it and smile while you're doing it. Life in this world is just not that. My mom always used to say, "Honey, I just wish you would find a job. I'm proud of what you're doing, but if you work for a big company and they would take care of all this." And reality is that's no longer the case. Employees nor employers are terribly loyal to each other. It's all how the board reacts to everything. And so I felt better steering my own ship, for better or worse, richer or poorer. And
I
I
like
think that's
that.
part of it, is having permission to be able to actually say, "Yes, I see it. Circumstances have changed. And so now I need to dodge, weave, jig, or jag." There's so much joy and fulfillment in life when you give yourself that freedom versus feeling like you're stuck with something you didn't even give yourself.
Exactly. What advice would you give to people on finding that personal agency within themselves? Because I think that's where a lot of people struggle, either they're fearful or they're anxious or they lack the self-esteem or really even the self-awareness to dive in and discover new sides of themselves. I mean, what advice would you give to someone who's coming in saying, "Look, I need to make a change, but I don't even know where to start"?
May I get a little woo-woo?
Yeah, do it. Why not?
Woo-woo is the energies of the universe, your spiritual backing, whatever. And honestly, change like that for me did not begin to happen until I really began to understand what meditation is. And I'm going to put this in a real succinct form. Meditation isn't anything weird, odd, or you have to be on top of a mountaintop to do. It is simply shutting down the monkey chatter in all of our heads that goes the grocery list, the kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and be able to quietly get in touch with yourself. Most of us are not in touch with ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think that's such a valid point. And I'll tell you, of course, I'm one of the millions of people I think who's always like, I need to meditate on a more regular basis. But I have to say, when I do, is when I get the most creative ideas and when thoughts come to mind that I would have never had I not quieted down that monkey box inside my head, as you're describing.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
yeah.
in my world, and it's about to wind down, thank goodness, but I have, through all this school thing, I've been an Uber driver, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I say that with a great deal of pride, actually, because I was going to try it for one night and see what it was like. And that was over 6 years ago, and over 6,300 trips I have made at this point.
Wow.
Now, here is the deal. When I started that, I was spiritually astute enough to go, "Okay, this is about making some money, but it really has to be about more than that, or I'm not going to last one day. Who
Yeah.
can I help today?" In those 6,300 trips, I have had more conversations that could have been even much deeper had we had the time or the place to do that.
I love
And I
that.
really do feel like that has been helpful to so many others. And I've been able to stay afloat, make a living, smile, study, and do all those things because of this that has come along for me.
Very cool. You clearly have a gift of connection. So I'm glad that you're finding a new avenue to help people find connection within themselves and to other people, which let's not waste any more time. Let's get into today's topic, which is all about sexual scripts. So, how do you define a sexual script for people who may not have heard that term before?
Sexual scripts are those insidious little things, not only just sexual scripts, but life scripts in general, that somehow we think this is the way I live my best life because so-and-so told me, or somebody got behind a lectern and said that, or somebody that I respected said that, and you just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the unexamined life is sometimes not that great a life. Sexual scripts in particular are those things we grew up with that your mother says, good girls don't dot, dot, dot. You don't want to be a bad boy and dot, dot, dot. Your grandmother says, now be a good boy and dot, dot, dot. And those
strong
things.
Men, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Men don't cry.
Good wives, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, exactly. All of this, unfortunately, has been foisted upon us. And we just take it as gospel. I mean, honestly, once that you get past that point in the river and you go, what was I thinking? You know, only then can we start getting creative and understand that, you know, when I was first married at 23 years old, that worked then. But now I'm in my mid 60s. My wife has passed away. The kids are grown, or one of my kids are back. Consistent reevaluation is so necessary to live our fullest life. When we don't, we automatically just keep carrying this 500-pound brick of concrete on our back and wonder why we feel so bad all the time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is something I write extensively about in my book, about how we have to spend some time, to your point, examining our lives, considering some of the beliefs and ideologies, thoughts, feelings that we have internalized because of the input from society, culture, parents, upbringing, religion. I mean, you name it, all of this stuff inculcates in us a lot of ideology that a lot of people don't spend much time challenging or examining, for that matter, to see whether or not it truly fits for them. So what is your advice to people on how to start that process of self-examination?
Notice what you're noticing. That means if you automatically act a certain way, get yourself in the habit of going, that was a strange thing I did. Why did I do that? You know, it's like the young bride that made Easter ham, and she saws the end of the ham off and puts it in the pan because that's where her grandmother always did it. And you just do that. That's the way a good Southern girl makes it work.
Yeah, it's the automatic.
Discovered later on, it was because her grandmother's pan was too small. It had nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
And I think so much of our life is like that. We just accept things because we want to be the fair-haired child, the good little boy kind of thing.
Sure.
And that's not smart living anymore.
And I think that a lot of us think it makes life easier to just follow along, to do what was told to us. And it really, at the end of the day, doesn't. And so when you say notice what you're noticing, I think what I want people to hear in that is, when you're having a strong feeling about something, question that. Ask yourself, ask yourself, where is this emotion coming from? What thought is attached to this feeling? And is this an automatic thought I'm having that maybe I could challenge? Like, what evidence do I have to support the validity of this feeling or the validity of this thought? And is there any evidence I have that maybe refutes that this thought isn't necessarily true all the time, or is no longer serving me in the way that it once did, or perhaps ever did? And what would I tell a friend who had a thought or a feeling like this? And so pushing yourself to ask some of those questions. And I think, to come back what we were talking to a minute ago, sometimes sitting quietly and contemplatively in a meditative state is one of the best ways to do that, which a lot of us don't carve out time to do at all in today's modern world.
When's your most creative time in the day?
It's when I'm sitting quietly. It's when I do try to meditate. That's when I get ideas about things. Yeah.
Mine ends up being like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. I've always been kind of a night person, but I find the most, and maybe it's just, I think they're marvelous because I'm tired. I don't know, but I've learned to write down those aha moments and then reevaluate the next morning in the light of day. Was that brilliant or was it stupid? You know,
right.
But we have to be open, exactly what you're saying, to when those concepts come along. Because society changed as well as we have changed.
Exactly.
Aging in the human body changes lots of things. It changes hormonal structure. It changes attitudes. It changes physical abilities.
Right.
But
right.
just because those things change, and society has changed in the background of our lives, doesn't mean that we're still stuck with our 6-year-old concepts.
Exactly. And I always, as it relates to sex specifically, I always remind people, look, the sex you had in the honeymoon stage is going to be different than the sex you have maybe when that wears off versus when you're trying to conceive versus when there's a baby on the way or a newborn sleeping in the bassinet next to you or you've got young kids at home or someone blows their ACL and you can't go back to the positions that you're usually dependent upon to get there. Like you have to be able to adapt and change to all of these circumstances, which I think a lot of people don't give themselves the permission to do.
One of my favorite scenarios, and this, and I know both from working with folks, that you get a couple in there and the spark is just not like it used to be, and they
Yeah.
can't figure out what's going on. I said, well, tell me about your daily life. Well, we get up at 5:30 because we have to get lunch made, and we have to get the kids dressed, and we have to get to school and drop them off, and I have to get to work. And I've got a crazy day at work. I got to come back. I got to pick them up, take them to ballet, take them to soccer, get supper done, make sure the homework's done, lay out the clothes for tomorrow at 11:30. He looks at me and goes, oh, baby, oh, baby. And I look and go,
Yeah.
have you lost your friggin' mind?
Exactly.
You know,
Exactly.
it can be
Yeah.
unequal desire. It can also be things like, I'm just tired.
Yeah. Hey, listen, sleep comes first. If you are not well rested, a lot of times the sex, you can forget about it. The way I think about it is when we cultivate desire, when we are intentional about sexual connection, to me, that is so much more meaningful than when we're just passively waiting around for it to show up on our doorstep. People are always saying they want sex like they had in the honeymoon phase. And I'm like, well, look, number one, the research does not suggest that honeymoon stage sex is the best that you're ever going to have. Number two, I think that's just kind of that passive falling in love. Like anyone with a beating heart can have a sexual connection in the honeymoon stage. But I think only people who really know and understand the tools of cultivation and intention can have sex that is so much more intense and meaningful and intimate. And that comes usually with time.
Are you struggling with emotional or physical intimacy? I have good news. I am now offering an unbeatable deal for my private 6-week online workshop. When you purchase my new book, Anatomy of Desire, you get the workshop for free. That's right, it's on the house with qualified book purchases. Certain rules do apply, but check out emilyjumia.com/workshop for all the details.
Yeah, well, honeymoon phase too. Let's not forget that you're swimming in a stream of hormone flow
Right,
and
exactly.
body
It's a
chemistry.
neurochemical high.
Yeah, you know that can't last forever. You know,
Yeah, or we never get
so
anything done.
sure. Well, like that's a bad thing, but no, seriously. But seriously, it's people don't realize their body chemistry changes, and they wonder, what did I do wrong? You didn't do
Yeah,
anything wrong. It's
exactly.
just that. You're right. You know, time goes by and things change. And, you know, I have noticed, especially with my older clients, the desire on the female side gets stronger in most cases after menopause. The men on the other side go, oh, maybe I'd love to, but I don't know if I can or not.
Exactly.
You
Yeah.
know, so you've got a double battle going on here, and maybe those scripts need to be flipped. You're not swimming in hormones anymore. With our seniors, especially, a lot of times, outer course is much better than intercourse. People have skin hunger. I mean, they just want to feel loved and appreciated and somebody to watch a movie with. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's all, but it certainly does fulfill a major human need.
Totally, totally. And just for people listening, I think that we have to replace the words foreplay and sex with outer course versus intercourse, because that language alone gives us so much more bandwidth to work with as far
Yeah.
as the types of things we can do. Now, Jim, you mentioned when you're working with older clients, and I know you have a particular interest in the baby boomer generation. Can you talk a little bit about what attracted you to this population and what some of the nuances are about it that you think is interesting and worthwhile for people listening to know?
What really got me interested in that, I guess, was getting my gold card as a member of the club. And, you know, but I've taken a very circuitous route to get there. So, you know, I'm probably not a good average example. But so many people just live in fear. They live in fear of being alone. They live in fear of death at some point. They live in fear of, am I going to have enough money to get there? And the last thing they want to do is add another person into their life that would suck out any of these worries, what if I end up spending too much money? What if I don't have enough time? What if, and families also. Families are a big thing. What do you do when grandma gets a boyfriend? That discussion is like, mother, how could you?
I
Mother
know.
me.
God, when I have couples like express anything other than joy or happiness for an elderly parent who has rediscovered love, I'm just like, what is wrong with you? I mean, everyone deserves to have connection. They see it as some sort of betrayal to, the partners that was maybe deceased or who they've been divorced from for like 10 years. And I'm like, for the love of God, let this person have connection. We all need it, even especially as we age.
Oh yeah, I have three adult sons. Could not be prouder of my kids. They've turned out to be like really neat, neat people. And besides, I've got five grandkids, and they all live around close, so we are all together all the time. But the best day of my whole life as a parent was the morning that I said, "Guys, let's go get breakfast." So we go get breakfast, and I said, "Okay, the catering business is dead. I mean, there's no more I can do. It has done its last death bell. Done." And so I said, I've got to make a career change. And I found something I'm really excited about. And one of my guys goes, "So, Dad, what are you going to do? Be a greeter at Walmart?" I said, "There's nothing wrong with that, but no." I said, "Daddy's going to be a sex worker." And
Sex
their heads
worker.
exploded. And then I was able to explain the life path. And they go, "That's cool." And oldest one goes, "Dad, you know what?" He said, "That's such a ministry. It's you've been in ministry in one way or another your whole life. Why should this be different?" I totally agree with that. And my youngest one called me up the other day and go, "Hey, is this Dr. Dad?" I said, "Say it again. That sounds really good."
Yeah, I love that. I
So
love
when
that.
you've got family that is being supportive, is open and listening, it makes things so much easier to readjust those sexual scripts. But if you're trying to readjust your scripts and yet keep the lid on the box, it makes it difficult. And I understand, it's like all of a sudden it's time for Thanksgiving. Who is this person that we've never seen before? That's, it's like the old gentleman that's going into his 85th birthday party, and his kids are giving this big blowout, and he's got this gorgeous young woman on his arms, 25 at the most, whatever. And one of the kids runs up to him, "Dad, who is this?" And he goes, "This is my fiance." And they go, "Fiance, Dad, look, don't you know that sex at your age, if too much of it is going to end up killing you?" He goes, "Yeah, she dies, she dies."
That's hilarious.
So
Au
families.
contraire. I mean, we actually have a lot of evidence to suggest that there are tons of health benefits to sex, especially as we age. Can you talk about some of those for people
Yeah,
listening?
actually, I got a report from the U.S. Surgeon General's office. I guess it was last May. It talks about the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Now, COVID did that to us. That was just the way it was. Like God said, "Go to your room and think about it for 2 years." Okay, it was kind of like one of those situations we didn't have a lot of control over. And in the process of that, isolation became the norm, and we find a lot of people that they've gone one or two ways, three ways. They've gone back to whatever normal they can craft out of today's world, which is not what it was then. They have totally isolated themselves as a second way. And the third way is they have gone wild. Okay. Because of all of a sudden, I lived past this. I've got my freedom. I'm going to live life to the max, whatever that means. But what that means is that with this isolation, people have lost some socialization skills.
For
And you
sure.
want to see a good train wreck? Let's take somebody that's 74 years old, and they go, "I really would love to meet somebody." You go, "Well, there's a website. You go fill out a profile and let's see what happens." Oh, so wrong.
I
That's
know.
enough therapy there for 15 years, right
Yes,
there, you know.
yes. I was
So
so pleased. I have a younger cousin, and especially the younger generation, it's all online, but she's in her early 20s and she just met this great guy and they're dating now. And he picked her up at a bar. And in the his line was they, I guess, were kind of making eyes at the bar. And he walked over to her and he said, I just cannot leave this bar without talking to you. And I was like, oh, my heart, like maybe there's some hope for the younger generation that they can
Yeah.
still have these organic connections in real
Yeah.
life.
It
It's
happens
hard.
that we have gotten so reliant upon our computer screens, our phone screens, our iPad screens, that we've lost what to expect from real life interconnection. What you get on screen is not real life. It is fantasy at the best
Oh,
and
for sure.
a
For
really bad
sure.
problem at the worst. And I think part of back what you were talking about is we have no language with which to talk about sex and relationship issues. We've got street language, and a good Southern girl doesn't talk with that kind of language. Number two, we've got clinical language, and nobody calls that or that. And so, bottom baseline, we have no way to talk about something we can't talk about because we have no tools with which to talk about it. So that's one of my major things as I'm teaching workshops for senior adults is get past the squeamishness of the language. Let's get it out there so we can use real language. You know, if it's intercourse, then you say it's intercourse. If it's not that, then you use the correct terms for it. And all of a sudden, doors open up.
So what is your advice, Jim, to people who have found themselves at a sexual impasse? Maybe what used to work isn't quite working for them anymore. They need to shake things up, but they're not really sure how to go about that.
Number one, I would encourage the person or the partners to one, make a list, make a couple of lists for me. One, find out what life like used to be like and what your expectations are of life now. Have you had your blood work done lately at your doctor? We need to know what that's looking like. We need to know what kind of medications that you're on because those can change everything for bad or for worse or for great. So those are the three things. The other thing is, don't be afraid to say how you're feeling because as males in this society, we always have covered that up because you can't let anybody see how you're feeling or thinking. And women too. But women in such a superwoman role model that nobody's ever going to fully achieve that, you know, according to what they think it should be.
And let me interrupt you really quick because I want to
Yeah, you
elaborate
bet.
on a really important point you just made, which is about men and feelings. And I want every guy listening to hear me that it will benefit you to express your feelings to your partner, especially as it relates to sex. And I say this all the time. I have yet to have a guy come in my office who says sex for them is all about getting off or all about the physicality. Sex for men is an opportunity, and for women, both of us, is an opportunity for connection and intimacy. And yes, physical pleasure is a part of that. But I think that both men and women are socialized to think that for men, it's about the physical release, and for women, it's about emotional connection. And if men could learn to articulate that the sexual connection is an opportunity for emotional connection, and it's when they feel the most loved and when they feel that they can express love in a really meaningful way, that probably their female partners would want to have more sex with them.
Oh, totally. Well, and for men, I speak because I are one. You know, it's one of those situations that it's the little things for me. It's not the big moment. Yeah, I love getting off too. It's great, but that only lasts for a certain amount of time, and it's back to real life. It's the things like a quick hug, you know, in an unexpected place. It's those things that build that anticipation and that feeling of somebody really cares for me. As males, we are cast in a role of having to be the big caretaker. Yes. The problem with it is, we're taking care of everybody else and we're not getting taken care of.
I think some
I mean,
women would
men.
argue against that, Jim.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think a lot of women feel like they do nothing but kind of parent their kids and their
No,
husbands.
and I'm going to say that for the women in the world, they're feeling the same thing, just in different ways.
Exactly. At the end of the day, we all want to feel loved and cared for, And I think that this is part of the downside. Well, so many downsides, obviously, of gender socialization, but men really aren't socialized or taught how to care for women in a way that they want. I think there's this, deep and pervasive emphasis on providing financially, bringing home the bacon. And well, yes, that's great. There's so much more to a loving connection than that, which I think men really aren't taught how to do.
Well, and women have been forced into that same role. They're bringing home the bacon too. And all of a sudden,
Everything
they've
has
got the women
changed.
jobs plus the men jobs. And nobody is going, hey, let's just sit here and let me hold you for a minute.
It's no wonder that we're all too tired.
And men are fix-its, right? Okay. It's like she comes in and says, I just need to talk. And two sentences into it, he's already fixing the problem. He doesn't even know what it is. Just listen. Just listen.
Okay, so coming back to my question about rewriting our sexual scripts and adapting to the change. So, number one, you're saying ask yourself what is or isn't working in my life right now, right?
Correct.
What's the next step?
What can I do to make it work? Is it more social interaction? Is it re-examining what I shouldn't have done before because I might get pregnant or anything else along the line? Is that more appropriate now than before?
And
And then
I would change what can I do to what can we do. When it comes to sex, I'm always reminding people, look, we're not talking about your sex versus their sex. We're talking about the sex that the two of you are trying to share. So you have to approach it as if you're running a three-legged race. You've got to really be aligned and connected and have mutual goals and vision for what you're wanting to achieve.
Totally. Because if it's not a mutual vision, it's going to fall apart.
Exactly. Yeah, you both got to be all in for sure.
And I think it's being open to options. Read, listen. Porn is not the answer in many cases, any more than sitting in 15 hours of a Disney movie is going to prepare you for life, same, same. So it really is about being open-minded, seeing what society says these days, what we say to society, and put yourself out there. People can manifest, they can pray, they can come up with all these great visions, but unless you put it to it, it's just entertainment. It's not
Right.
real.
You've got to educate yourself. I think that is such an important point because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And so whether it's listening to podcasts or picking up a book or, watching, there's a lot of adult sex education resources available now. So it's really important, I think, to seek out quality information as an adult.
I'm one of the guest lecturers at the Young Center here in Houston, and we are doing a whole series of workshops called Older, Wiser, Sexually Smarter. And
Oh, I love that.
it's exactly about what we're talking about today. And we're doing a month-long workshop for during the month of June. And so that will be out to sign up for if that sounds interesting.
Very cool.
It's exactly this information on a deeper dive to figure out where you are in this process and what you want to be.
I love that. Well, I'll definitely link the information in the show notes for anyone listening. Jim, this was such a great conversation. There's so much to explore, I think, as it relates to broadening our sexual horizons and rewriting our sexual scripts. I just want everyone listening to know that there are so many opportunities and ways to connect that are meaningful and pleasurable and erotic and spiritual even. And so I just want everyone to know that there are resources available to go out there, educate yourself, find people like Jim and I to help you along the way, and know that no matter your age or body type or physical ability or limitation for that matter, there are infinite number of ways to experience pleasure and meaningful sexual connection.
Definitely. And that is one of life's basic needs that we neglect. So let's
So
not neglect
true.
it anymore.
Let's not. So Jim, aside from the Jung Center workshop, where can people learn more about you and find you?
I have a new website that just went live 2 weeks ago. So proud of it. It is
Congrats.
www. Everybody needs somebody. Dot me.
Oh, I
Dot me.
love
Dot
that.
com. Okay.
Okay. I'll
And
link that
it
in the
really
show
talks
notes.
about what my practice looks like and how I might be helpful to people needing what I do.
Awesome. And do you do virtual stuff as well for
I do
people?
both. Yeah.
Okay, good. So even if
Yeah.
you're not in Houston, you can definitely reach out to Jim.
Absolutely. That even makes it more fun.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure, and I hope we can talk again in the
Thank you for the
future.
invitation.
Thanks again for listening to Love and Libido with me, your host, Dr. Emily Jamia. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and drop me a 5-star review. Positive ratings help keep the show going. As much as we can learn from experts, nothing makes us feel more connected than hearing from each other. If you have a question about your love life, visit loveandlibido.com and I'll answer it on an upcoming episode. And don't forget to get your copy of my new book, Anatomy of Desire, 5 Secrets to Create Connection and Cultivate Passion, which is currently available for pre-order. Visit emilyjamia.com to try my online workshops and read my latest blogs. Subscribers to my podcast can use code HALFOFF for all my online learning material. Finally, you can follow me across all the social media channels for daily sex and relationship tips at Dr. Emily Jamia. That's Dr. Emily Jamia. Thank you so much for tuning in.